Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. Alright, welcome back, everyone. Sorry for that disconnection there. We are back live. Rabbi, we are live on the air. So I'm going to give a quick recap to where we were so we can continue for this part of the session today. But we had just finished giving a recap on the New Jerusalem, the Bride, and the Ancient Jewish Wedding. And we began to discuss the scripture coming from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, about not letting our adornment just being external, but being of the inward part. So, Rabbi, I don't know if you remember where you left off, but I'll go ahead and pass to you, and we can read that scripture, if you'd like.
Yes, that is exactly right. And, the devil's a liar, and we thank you, Father, for seven times the blessing on this particular broadcast and the individuals that are being attentive and are wanting to hear the richness of what you are going to say in this broadcast. Hallelujah. All right, yes, if you can go ahead and read that both in the King James and in the Amplified, and then we'll discuss it.
All right. So start with King James. It says this, verse 3, chapter 3. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And now for the Amplified. Your adornment must not be merely external, with interweaving and elaborate knotting of the hair and wearing gold jewelry, or being superficially preoccupied with dressing in expensive clothes, but let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, one that is calm and self-controlled, not over-anxious, but serene and spiritually mature, which is very precious in the sight of God. Rabbi.
Amen. So it's not that he doesn't want you to look nice, all right? And of course, he's talking to the women, but he's wanting that focus to not be that, that main focus. The main focus should be your relationship with God and your relationship with your family and, of course, your community. And I see here, spiritually for all of us, a lesson of not being caught up in the cares of this world, not being caught up in the things that are manifesting in the natural, but be caught up in the spiritual. That doesn't mean that you become no earthly good. We know that. We understand that. But what it does mean is that we keep that balance so that the balance is just right for the Father to use in the kingdom that he desires to allow to begin to manifest here in and through us. That is what he's desiring of us, from us, and with us. And that's important for us to understand that. I'm going to pass it back to you, Pastor Andre, to just kind of share some of your thoughts pertaining to that passage.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, the connection that was jumping out to me when we started this was the bride that's making herself ready, and the extent to which in our cultural understanding we go through such great lengths to get our outward appearance looking great. You know, and like you said, Rabbi, there's nothing wrong with looking great, but it's like you want to make sure that the inside is what's dealt with first. And to me, I saw a connection with the bride in this manner. You know, you can have the appearance of godliness. You can have the appearance of righteousness. You can appear to have things in order. But truly for us to be that glorious church without spot or wrinkle, it's really talking about the spots and wrinkles that emanate from the inside out. It's not saying that the outside is not effective or not important, but it's saying that the condition of the hidden man of the heart, as it says in King James, that's what really connected with me in this verse with our discussion about the bride. So, those are my thoughts on that.
Yeah, amen. And I totally concur and totally agree with that. So with these times getting more and more perilous, how are we supposed to continue to keep our focus on the ancient Jewish wedding, continue to keep our focus on Yeshua and what he has done and is doing and what he is going to do in the future with and for us? How do we keep ourselves from these spots? How do we keep ourselves from lulling to sleep, as many have done? Matthew chapter 25, I'm reminiscent of both wise and the foolish, both of them. Oftentimes we focus so harshly on the foolish, when both the wise and the foolish both went to sleep. They both began to become lethargic and not fulfill the call and the purpose on their life at the time. And that's imperative that we understand that, not so that we can be like the publican and the priest, where the priest would look down at the publican pertaining to praying in the house of prayer and saying, I'm glad I'm not like that one. The thing that we need to make sure that we understand is that, and I want to just kind of turn the table of that thought pattern and say, I desire to be what you are desiring to be. Because in doing that, you still won't be like that one. But you will have a repentant heart like that one had. With the publican, he had a repentant heart. He knew the condition. He knew where he was. He was very much aware. And so in his repentant state, he stood afar off. And he really petitioned God to help him in his hour of need. We are needing you, Father, in this hour of need. We're needing to make sure that not just that you walk with us, but that you reconcile us, that you cleanse us, that you purify us, that you embrace us. I'm so reminded how the Father in Genesis, knowing that Adam had sinned, knowing that Eve had fallen, was not going there to scold them, but to reconcile them. And so in my understanding, my finite mind, I have to make sure that I understand that although I have a Father that disciplines, he disciplines because his main purpose is to reconcile. His main purpose is to redeem and to reestablish the relationship. So in this hour, in these perilous times, I need to make sure that I understand that these are those tools that the Father uses to enable us to understand how much he really does care and doesn't want us to have an eternity without him, an eternity in hell, and an eternity of torture and burning and all those things that are expected of and will be the demise for fallen angels and Satan himself. We have to understand not just who we're serving, but who we have a relationship with. John the Baptist knew when we started the broadcast. We started it off with John chapter 3, verse 29. And John knew. Not only did he know the procession, not only did he know the ancient Jewish wedding and how it was to be conducted, he also knew the players. He also knew the bridegroom and the bride. And he made it very clear to the Sadducees and Pharisees that came to him what was actually going on. It's not that they didn't know, but they didn't have the perspective. They were so concerned with how Yeshua was breaking protocol in their viewpoint, in their mindset. Because once you've been mikvahed or baptized under a rabbi in the rabbi's name, then you're supposed to give loyalty to him, to his teachings, and submit your ways and imitate your ways like his ways. Whereas Yeshua, in their viewpoint, in their mindset, he was starting his own thing. He started his own following, but he started his own following off of someone else's ministry. But when they finally got an understanding, it began to affect them in such a way to where some of them began to become secret believers, like Nicodemus. And we'll read that in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And we'll read that both in the King James and in the Amplified. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Starting with King James. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. When we continue, sir, or stop right there?
Yeah, you can stop right there. What I like about this, Pastor Andre, is that it's obvious, and I think to both of us, that Nicodemus being a part of the Sanhedrin, when it says a ruler of the Jews is talking about the Sanhedrin court, is talking about the 70 that rule and judge, like the Supreme Court, that judge the nation of Israel. But he was a secret believer. And what was shared with him was rich keys of the kingdom, rich keys on how to enter into New Jerusalem, rich keys that allow an individual to qualify. We talked about the qualifications of a bride. This was a rudimentary but yet deep study and teaching, doctrinal teaching, that Yeshua was giving to Nicodemus pertaining to how to become a bride. Because Nicodemus understood these things, because he was very much aware of the teachings of the ancient ones, it was easier for Yeshua to just really be pointed with him about the things that he really was coming there to find out and want to know. This particular passage of Scripture correlates directly with a couple of scriptures, but one in particular is Revelation chapter 22, verses 14. And if we can go there just so that we can see the correlation. Now, understand, this correlation is one that you have to both read the KJV and the NASB to get a better description of how it does connect. But it does connect. Because one of those passages of that self-same verse talks about following the commandments of God in order to enter. And another version talks about making their robes white, which is the water baptism aspect. I personally believe it's both. I personally believe that the earliest manuscripts has both of those passages connected together, requirements. And it's interesting that individuals have taken either one or the other side of the coin here, but it's still the self-same coin. So please don't allow that to fool you. I'll pass that to you, Pastor Andre, to share those two different passages.
Okay. Now I'll start with King James here, and this is Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. And then for Amplified, blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired are those who wash their robes in the blood of Christ by believing and trusting in him, the righteous who do his commandments, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city.
Amen and amen. We have to understand that these individuals are the ones that are the brides. This also, the Amplified that was shared, also correlates, and we're kind of doing a little bit of a theological analysis study here, or cross-reference. This goes back to what we were talking about in Revelation chapter 7. And we can jump into, like, I guess it's verse 13, where the elder that was in heaven began to expound and explain to the Apostle John exactly who these individuals were in heaven that he saw from every tribe and kindred that had their robes and had their palm branches and were giving praise and glory to Yeshua and to our Heavenly Father in heaven. So we'll read just to correlate and connect that in Revelation chapter 7. I believe it's starting at 13 where he begins to expound and explain. And I'll pass it to you.
Yes, sir. That is correct. Starting with verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now for the Amplified. Then one of the elders responded, saying to me, these who are dressed in the long white robes, who are they and from where did they come? I said to him, my Lord, you know the answer. And he said to me, these are the people who come out of the great tribulation, persecution, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb because of his atoning sacrifice. Rabbi, back to you.
Amen. Amen. And see, this also correlates with Revelation chapter 14. Reading, starting at verse 12, Revelation chapter 14, reading from verse 12, but focusing all the way up to verse 16, where it talks about the self-same thing that we're discussing here, and that is the rapture or the catching up or the Nisuin part of the wedding ceremony where the bridegrooms go and fetch the bride and they all meet the bride, the bridegroom, and this is the bridegroom's groomsmen, if you will, that go and fetch the bride and help to escort her to the bridegroom under the huppah. And that huppah is a representation of the cloud in the air that even Paul understands pertaining to this analogy and talks about in 1 Corinthians and in other passages. But we're going to look at it in Revelation chapter 14, starting verse 12, and then go from verse 12 all the way up to verse 16. Okay?
All right. Sounds great. Starting with verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Verse 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Verse 16, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now for Amplified. Here is encouragement for the steadfast endurance of the saints, God's people, those who habitually keep God's commandments and their faith in Jesus. Then I heard the distinct words of a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, blessed indeed, says the Spirit, so that they may rest and have relief from their labors, for their deeds do follow them. Verse 14. Again I looked and I saw, and this is what I saw, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle of swift judgment in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who was sitting upon the cloud, put in your sickle and reap at once, for the hour to reap in judgment has arrived, because the earth's harvest is fully ripened. So he who was sitting on the cloud cast his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped or judged. Back to you.
Amen. Fight with my mute button there. So you see here that you're dealing with the same event, if you will. Revelations is overlapping or overarching an event where the wedding, the latter part of that wedding, the Nisuin portion of the wedding commences. And as it commences in heaven, there are things that are beginning to happen here on earth. We already talked about the sixth seal, and the sixth seal, of course, is what we all are waiting for to happen within that particular sixth seal. There's a heavenly event. We've got some heavenly events that are getting ready to happen even within a few weeks of us with the blood red moon that we've talked about. And then a month after that, we have a fiery eclipse. And these we feel very strongly are not just speaking to the DNA Israel to wake up and to get their house in order, but also to the times of the Gentiles coming to a close. These are perilous times, but they're exciting times that we're in. Pastor Andre, I just want you to just share what you're sensing and the excitement of where we are and the fact that we are the ones living this time period that even the apostles desired to be a part of. I'll pass it to you, sir.
Yes, this is, wow. Every once in a while, I'll sit down and I'll have, like what we're talking about now, I have one of those moments where you realize, oh my goodness, I'm living in a time that most of the scriptures is pointing towards. I mean, the further we get away from the times of the first century, the closer, of course, we are to the events that are going to be taking place. And we are in that time. Rabbi, what I was just imagining, as we read this last scripture, it talked about the earth being reaped because the harvest was ripe. And I just kept thinking about how ripe is it? You know, it's ripe. How ripe is it? Well, it's getting very ripe. We were talking about the patient endurance of the saints. And there was another phrase that we read earlier in one of the scriptures where it talked about how basically we have to endure. That was it. Revelation chapter 7. These are they which come out of the great tribulation. And in the Amplified, it says persecution. And it is exciting seeing, just to use your phrase, exciting. It's exciting to see these things unfolding. It's also very sobering. But also, I have to remind myself something. Actually, your wife, Pastor Martha, had said a while back at a fellowship that God has a plan. And when I begin to think about, well, he has a plan for me right now. I mean, he saw fit that I'm alive right now, which means he must have seen something in me that is ready for now. And think about that. Anyone listening to my voice is in the same boat as I am. He saw fit for us to be here right now. But one of the things that we need to make sure as we prepare ourselves, because the bride does have to make herself ready. we have to make sure that we make the choices that lead us to who Yah called us to be or has called us to be. And that's where we have to make those minute micro decisions every day. But yes, it is exciting to be a part of the pages that are unfolding and to possibly see them unfold. And I'll leave you with this, Rabbi, as I pass it back to you. You know, I've thought about some of my relatives who they would say that they long for the day to see the Lord return. And I think that is a better description for me of, or a equal description of what it means to be excited to see these things take place or to be in this time. We're excited to see the things unfold and to see our Lord come to redeem us and to be for us our bridegroom. So that there's some excitement in that for sure.
Amen. Amen. And I hear what you're saying as far as the choices that we make, because we know that there are going to be and that there are increasing perilous times. But within those times, we have choices. And as we yield to the Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to guide us and to begin to teach us and begin to instruct us and to begin to replace us, we need to continue to ask the Father to allow the Spirit to replace us in the right path each day. Because each day there is things that befall us that we were not aware of, and some of us were not even ready for that particular day. For example, we got a current event situation happen where someone hacked into one of the computers that caused the pipeline that has fuel coming to the East Coast area to shut down. Now, when I think about that, you know, we had just, my wife and I had just decided before this news and before the hacking of the computer system, you know, that we needed to get up to fill up our tank. And she did. We went and got it filled up. We'd also heard from, I think it was our daughter that had gotten information pertaining to that situation before it ever actually transpired. She had gotten wind of the information as well. And we were already in the process of doing this, but it was because we were already prompted by the Spirit to do it. Now, the other thing that's really wonderful is that we made a quality decision on a choice for that vehicle way back, you know, 2, maybe 3 years ago now, and had to go all the way to Maryland to purchase the vehicle because we couldn't get that particular type of vehicle here in North Carolina at the time because it was in such demand. And it's one that both, it's a hybrid, it's one that both has the EV or the electric vehicle engine in it as well as the gas engine. So it runs on gas and it runs on electric. And it was such and has been tremendously such a blessing to us going forward because we have both opportunities to do that. Now, I'm not saying that to be braggadocious. I mean, it has nothing about that in my heart at all. I'm saying that was God's decision for us. God helped us to make that purchase. God helped us to make that decision, that quality decision, so that as the because he knows the perilous times, and he knows what we need. He knows that. So learning the things that we're needing to learn to be able to spiritually be good preppers and physically to be good preppers, it softens and eases the perilous times that we're in. Because as I was talking to others, it caught many individuals unaware to such a degree that there were some that were so stranded, they had to wait 3 hours. And I talked to one individual who waited at least an hour and was 6 cars away from the gas pump when they said they had no more fuel. Now, we need to make sure, as brides, that we take that analogy and we utilize that analogy for ourselves to fulfill we're called to fulfill. So, Pastor Andre, I'm going to pass you and just share some of what you were thinking pertaining to what I just shared.
That was a very clear picture. It's very real for those of us who are in the Southeast, because I too went around. I was able to get gas. I think it was 50 minutes I waited at Costco. But the picture of being in line and then getting very close to, I'll say, to the door, and then being told there's no more fuel. To me, I immediately thought about the 10 virgins. It's like you just weren't ready enough, fast enough. And that was like, whoa, to get all the way to do the process and then be told there's no more. And, of course, you know, we literally have this picture of the car tank being like a lamp in a sense. It's like, wait, you have no more fuel. Well, how did you let it get this low? You know, I've heard different people say not to let it go past half or quarter or whatever. But I just thought about the preparation that's involved in planning our day in order to make sure that we maintain and have that enough fuel to get by, you know. I had a half tank, so luckily I didn't need that much. But the picture is very real for if I didn't have any and was on E and wasn't sure if I could get home, you know, that would have been a very different picture. So, Rabbi, that's all that was going through my mind when you told that story about being very close to the pump and then not being able to get anything. That's very real. That's a very real picture.
And you makes you wonder, you know, do we really understand the gravity of what is to come? Honestly, I don't think any one of us is actually ready, but the Holy Spirit knows. The Spirit of promise knows, and it's His job to prepare us, to correct us, to comfort us, to keep us in the way. And a part of being in this way is being above only and not beneath, being in a situation where you're already ready before it ever happens. As a bride, it says the bride made herself ready. We read that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. She made herself ready. So we have to begin to start making ourselves ready. It is something that we must do. It is areas in our life that we must begin to correct and get those things right before Him. All of us, none of us is exempt from this one. All of those spots, all of those wrinkles need to be dealt with prior to, or like was already said, will be so many individuals close to the door, but yet not be able to make it through the door. I pray that we really shema. That means begin to listen, begin to understand, you know, ponder it, and then obey those things, those instructions that we need for this day, for this season, for this time in our life. Pastor Andre, I'll pass it to you for your final thoughts, and we'll go ahead and close this session.
Wow. You know, the devil is a liar, because it chopped up this broadcast. So I'll go ahead and make sure we have a consistent broadcast posted online for those of you who want to go back and listen to the whole thing. But, Rabbi, there's really kind of comes full circle. You asked the question at the beginning, how do we keep ourselves ready, keep ourselves from lulling to sleep? How do we prepare ourselves? And really, having discussions like this is what really helps us to keep ourselves in perspective. We have to remember the story of the bride and the bridegroom. We have to tell it. We have to, just like it says in the Old Testament, you know, to sit at home and tell your children when you rise up, when you get down, you lay down, and when you go about your way. We have to talk about the background, the Torah, which is the background for the whole story, the whys, the beginning, the origin. But then we also have to discuss the encouraging things. But Rabbi, what really came to my mind right at the very end here, and I think it's a very pertinent and point that connects it, is this aspect of if we stay ready, then we never have to get ready. And that's going back to this whole discussion about, you know, what happens if, you know, there's no gas, but then on top of that, what if there's no power? And, you know, it's like, well, we have to be in that state of mind that we talked about in the example we read from Peter, where it talked about the sereneness, the mature, spiritually mature nature, so that we're not swung by our emotions in every situation. So really, we have to get to a place where we are ready, that we stay ready, so we don't have to get ready and play catch-up. And that's not easy, but it's something that we need to work towards. And that's one of the things I get from this discussion today as far as preparing to keep ourselves as brides. We have to be ready and not have to get ready. So, Rabbi, I nothing else to say besides that from me.
Amen. And
so this,
that's profound. Yeah, I pray that everyone got that. We need to stay ready. And the only way that we can do that is by being led by the Spirit of God. God will speak to us. I've on many occasions, I remember and recall God telling me something. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But I act like a friend. A friend doesn't have to do what another friend said. But a bride, now that is a totally different individual. A bride must be submitted to her husband, to her spiritual husband. And we need to make sure, I need to make sure, that the choices that I make are not friend choices when I don't have that luxury because I am a bride. So a bride, I need to be submitted to my spiritual husband. I'll close with that. Pastor Andre.
All right. Thank you all for joining us today. And when listening to these Be Prayerless times, and as we even discussed today, you know, we're discussing why it's important to understand the ancient Jewish wedding, why it's important to understand what we must do to prepare ourselves and to be ready. I'm glad that you've taken time to even listen to this and us discuss this word. We encourage you to discuss and look back at these things, to study them as Bereans. The Bereans were noble above all because they went back and they searched the scriptures and to see the things that were discussed, to see if they are true. And I always say this, that when we see things that are true in the scripture, we must then apply them. That's part of our preparation, that's part of making ourselves ready, is to apply the things that we're learning and understanding to be true. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave us an encouraging word, please email us at office@bethhashem.org. And Beth Hashem is spelled BethHashem. To find out more about us, you can visit our website at bethhashem.org, or you can visit our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/BethHashem Ministries. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the things we've discussed today, and more specifically, the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakah University, which is called Zul for short, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies at courses.BethHashem.org. If you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can make a contribution via Cash App. You can go to www.cash.app/$BethHashem. That's $BethHashem. Or you can mail a donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And for those of you who have given, we say thank you. And we appreciate all prayers and support for this ministry, this broadcast, and our congregation. At this time, we'll close with our After Torah Study blessing, followed by our Aaronic benediction for today.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chayei olam natah bitokeinu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga, Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And now for our runic benediction, which comes out of Scripture, comes out of Numbers chapter 6, starting around verse 24. And it's a blessing that God has given, that God has given his people. And we say it as a concluding prayer, if you will. So I'll recite it in Hebrew and say it in English as well. Yivarecha Yahuwah ve'yishmerecha Yair Yahuwah panavelecha v'chunecha Yisai Yahuwah panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. We thank you for the reality. We thank you for the soberness. We thank you for the stern discussion pertaining to, as the bride, there are no options. There are no opportunities to act as a friend and decide, well, maybe, maybe not. No, there is no maybe. Father, help me, help us to understand that it must be submission to our husband in every area of our life. Submission to what the spirit of the churches are saying to the churches without any opportunity to rebuttal or to have a discussion that is unbecoming of a bride. Father, help us. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for your cloud of witnesses that are really just there praying for us and cheering us on and just believing in the Holy Spirit in us to finish the work that needs to be done, not just external, but more specifically internally. Thank you, Father. And until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.